going to invite you to remain standing for our gospel reading this morning, right before the closing hymn. I'm kidding. Hear these words from Luke. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him here to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to be not afraid. Amen. This passage in Luke begins a series for the rest of February where we're looking at some of the interesting things that Jesus said. Subtitle, Jesus said what? And so in this passage, in this story, we begin by listening to this call to the disciples. It had not been a good night of fishing. It's clear from Peter's reaction when Jesus, as he teaches the crowds, invites him out and to move him out a little bit further offshore so that people could hear Jesus speak, and then turns to Peter and says, "Drop your nets down for a catch. Go out into the deep water." It's clear by what Peter is saying that the night was not good. This is a society where if you don't catch fish, you don't eat. You don't sell the fish to those in your community. Your children and your wife don't eat either. Peter needs the fish for his business. They need the fish to live. And so it's one of those nights, and you may have experienced those kind of nights or days at home or at work or at school, where you get to the end of the day and you say, well, at least this won't happen again. You know? The test didn't go nearly as well as you thought it had and you had studied for it. The layoffs, or the dip in sales in the company causing anxiousness around the office space. Uncertainty around how to pay the bills at home or the medical bills, figuring out what insurance is going to cover and what insurance is not covering this new year. Peter was having one of those kind of days. He may have said something to his wife that he thought was going to be funny. And it was very clear from the pained look on her face that no, it wasn't funny and it wasn't good. And so he's there in that time, in that moment where it's like, what else can happen? And then this teacher who he has never really met before, who's taken his boat with him in it, now tells him to go do some fishing. I imagine Peter's expression saying, well, it was great the first time. I can't wait for the encore. He drops the nets into the water. And I imagine, much like sometimes our teenage children to ourselves as parents, he dropped the net in a way that Jesus saw him dropping the net. Probably talking out loud, well, I'm going to put the net into the water now. You know, the net you told me to put into the water, I'm putting it into the water. Maybe not, but that's how I imagine it. Because I feel that there's just a tension there. It's like, I know it's not going to work, but you want me to do this. Okay, I'll satisfy you. I'll make you happy. I'll do it. And then that moment comes when he tugs on the net, ready to prove his point That indeed, Jesus, there are no more fish in this part of the lake than there were in that other part of the lake that I spent all night fishing in. And he tugs at the net and it doesn't move as easily as it does when it's empty. And then I imagine his cheeks getting flustered because he's thinking, oh, now the net is stuck on the bottom of the lake. What else can go wrong? But he tugs again and it's moving. But it's moving because of the weight inside of it is causing it to be slow. This is when he starts to motion to his brother Andrew and to James and John and says, I think meekly at this point, I need help. I think we've got some fish. Or maybe he says we got a few fish because he doesn't want to quite reveal his entire shock yet. And they start to pull the net out of the water and what they find is the catch they never had last night. The kind of catch that maybe would be a week's worth of fish. It's abundant because, see, that's how God operates. God operates in the midst of abundance. Even when we are fixated on scarcity, God works in the midst of abundance. He calls over James and John and they help. And Luke tells us the boats even lowered themselves into the water because there was so much fish. And then we have Peter uttering these amazing words. Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He's saying, God, get away from me. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve you. Don't do this to me. Don't do this good thing. Because good things aren't supposed to happen to me. Good things happen to those other people who always seem to have good things happening to them. This life is hard. My life is hard. And now you're overwhelming me with these fish. He feels so small. He feels so insignificant. He feels unworthy. And what does Jesus say to him? Jesus invites him to follow, but Jesus says, do not be afraid. And I want to give you just three quick points to highlight about this story. The first thing is Jesus tells us, do not be afraid. We learned in the Bob Goff series, Everybody Always, back in the fall, if you were here at that point during that sermon series, that that's one of the commands of God that we probably ignore the most. Be not afraid. God doesn't call us into fear. God calls us out of fear. And we practice in the world around us living in the midst of fear. If you're not feeling afraid, you can turn on the news and you'll be afraid in 30 seconds. Right? That's kind of what fuels our attention is what's the next thing to be afraid about or to fear. But God says, do not be afraid. Begin living life from the point of trusting in God's presence and not being afraid, but experiencing that foundation. Notice the second thing, too, about do not be afraid is this in particular for the story is do not be afraid of Jesus. Now, on one level, that sounds kind of strange. Why would we want to think we'd have to be afraid of Jesus? Peter obviously is. He sees a glimpse of the godness of Jesus inside Jesus or within Jesus, this miracle of the fish. And for Peter, it's too much. He feels too much of what he is not as he looks at who Jesus is. But Jesus is saying to him, Peter, do not be afraid and do not be afraid of me. Do not be afraid of my power in your life to bring wholeness and completeness, of the power of my life to bring forgiveness, to bring hope. And yet we are sometimes afraid of that kind of love in our life. When somebody loves us as unconditionally as God, sometimes we flee from it because we don't feel like we deserve it. And yet Jesus stands there in the boat with Peter and he says, do not be afraid of me, Peter. I'm here for you. Even if you don't feel like you deserve it, that is the amazing thing of God's love. It's still present. God is still loving. God is still at work in your lives, in my life, as he is and was in Peter's life. We are called to not be afraid of Jesus so that we would then love like Jesus, that we would be bold and courageous in how we welcome the world around us, how we invite others through our words, our actions, and through our presence, through our partnerships with the Methodist Children Home Society, our ministry with Scouting, to say that there are amazing things that we can do together as we live out the love of Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid. to care for those who are hurting. Don't be afraid to reach out to the widow and the orphan. Do not be afraid to speak up for justice. Do not be afraid to welcome those who are alone and lonely or find themselves on the edges of community. Know that they have a space next to you because we are all part of the family of Jesus Christ because He told us to not be afraid. And that means we're not going to be afraid of each other either, no matter how different we are. It's profound. And maybe it does cause a little bit of fear along the way too, right? It's a big task. But Jesus stands there with us and He says, let's do this together. I'm not asking you to do something that I am not doing. But rather, I'm asking you to do something with me. And with my friends, the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. The third thing, if you're keeping track, number three is simply this. Do not be afraid to be a blessing. You have the ability to do much good in your life, and you are. One of the privileges of being one of your pastors here at St. Paul's is being engaged in those ministries with you, but seeing all of the different places that you are engaged in ministry here in Rochester, in this community, in Detroit, and around our state, and around the world. And Jesus reminds us to not be afraid of being a blessing. Never be afraid to add to the lives of the people around you. We encourage our children in scouting to live that way. We're partnering with the Methodist Children's Home Society so that the children there will experience us as a blessing, as we experience our connection with them as a blessing. They've had to face things that we have never, ever faced with their resilience and their strength. And part of not being afraid to be a blessing is to walk alongside of them as we can and be amazed at how they are building up lives out of the shadows of some dark places in their own lives and experience, things they did not deserve that happened to them. And so when we are not afraid to be a blessing, we're not afraid to be in those places where we can live out God's love, where we can be a sign of that good news, maybe helping to reconcile a fractured relationship, maybe reaching out to a neighbor who maybe has some physical limitations due to age or anything else and helping them in the midst of this amazing Michigan winter. Can I get an amen for that? Woohoo! There's only, what, a few more weeks left, I pray? But opportunities to make a difference, bringing a warm coat for Baldwin. Our food collection for the food pantry here in town that is always in need of additional food. Do not be afraid to be a blessing. Do not be afraid to do that good that God has called you to do, to help those around you. It may be as simple as this. Depending on the attitude of the person in front of you at the store, it may be simply being kind to the cashier next, or thank them for how they handled a difficult customer. That's what it means to be not afraid to be a blessing. To put yourself in that opportunity and say, God, use me. Help me be a sign of your abundant grace and your abundant love. So these are the three things. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of Jesus. And do not be afraid to be a blessing. Let's do this. Let's be the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear these words of Jesus. We understand Peter's response, Lord, but we know too that you never left that boat. You stood there with Peter and you stand with us. So help us indeed to live lives in an anxious time where there are real anxieties, but to live without fear. To trust that you are present to guide us, to encourage us, and in the midst of an uncertain time, you are that rock that we may cling to. Gracious God, be at work in our lives even now. In your holy name we pray. Amen.